have police photographing our license plates.
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of the Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges. And my guest today is Nancy Silberkleit, who is the co-CEO of Archie Comics, overseeing education. Archie Comics, by the way, was founded in 1942, but Nancy has her own foundation called Rise Above Social Issues. Hello, Nancy Silberkleit. Have I got that correct?
Correct. And I love to say zam, wham, wow, something only a comic book publisher gets to say.
Yes, I guess so. You're right. Well, you know, I'm going to confess something. First of all, I'm so happy to have you on the show. As a kid, I wasn't a big fan of cartoons or comic books. But the older I got, the more I became a fan of animation and comic books. Do you have an explanation for that? Am I just going backwards?
Well, it seems to have found its era. I don't know what year you discovered, graphics, but also the entertainment industry has, you know, found
yes.
a great way to put them up on the big screen, and they do sell a lot of tickets, draw a lot of people. But interestingly that you say that, because when I stepped into Archie Comics, there was a problem. I had never read a comic book.
Uh-huh.
So comic books kind of passed me by when I was young, and that's very unusual.
Uh-huh. Well, then we are two peas in the pod, I guess, because that's the way it was for me. And then it really was even after college that I suddenly discovered them. But I know your point is, in part at least, that children learn to read and go on to be extremely creative because of the graphics in comic books as well, right?
Absolutely. And when I went into Archie Comics, I literally stepped out of the classroom and into the boardroom. I had been a school teacher teaching art for 25 years in a public school.
Wow.
And then sadly, my husband had passed away. But I wanted to continue that Archie legacy. So I had no formal business experience, no training, but I had that passion to propel the iconic brand. So there I was, you know, tumbling into a position with no background. And the biggest problem was I had never read a comic book. So what I had to do was start updating myself with that genre of literacy.
Uh-huh.
And shockingly, I found I loved comic books. I started piling up my favorite Archie comics. I started having my favorite character in Archie. And then one day I found myself going to bookstores and buying books that my friends were talking about. And once I started reading them, I started feeling, wow, I can engage in conversation at cocktail parties with them, because now I was able to communicate on that level. So I started thinking, oh my goodness, look what has happened to me, you know, in midlife.
And, yes.
The reason I had never read comic books, I had never had that love of reading. So I wasn't searching for entertainment reading. I could read, but I could never search for reading as entertainment.
Yes.
And I went back to when reading started being introduced. And I don't know how long I have on your show, but I have this heartwarming story.
Please. Yes, please.
I was walking into second grade, and I even remember what I was wearing that day. And I can tell you I was looking very smart. I was ready for second grade. I was excited. And that afternoon, I give the visual description that I had a pair of white patent leather shoes on that matched this beautiful dress, and they had dirt all over them. And I was kicking the dirt on the side of the walkway. And I noted that beautiful dress of mine as my bad luck dress. And what had happened that morning, my mother stopped me at the corner of the kindergarten playground. I just went back a few months ago to take a picture of myself as an adult in that very spot. She announced to me that I wasn't going into second grade, and she said that I was going back to first grade. I was repeating first grade, that I had been left back because I could not read. And they just thrust me into, you know, another year of first grade. And the remedial books they gave to me, I looked at it as a punishment. I looked at retention as a punishment. It was not presented to me in a warm, fuzzy, understanding way. And I felt it was a punishment. So my reading, you know, the remedial pieces they gave me, I remember folding them, crumbling them, and shoving them into my handbag that I carried daily to hide my shame. Now, my husband, he passed away just 6 years ago, and he never knew about this deep anchor that I hid in myself about retention. So when I found this wonderful love of reading all of a sudden, I looked at that experience, and I say the love of reading was stolen from me, and that's why I never ventured into the, you know, the areas of stores that had books. I stayed away from them.
Wow, that is a story. And but now you have since discovered that that comic books actually draw in young readers and help them to be creative, but also learn to read and enjoy reading is.
Right. The biggest quest is to find the love of reading.
Yes.
Because once you have a love of reading, I have this little quote. It says, comic books with the plus sign. Comic books plus children equal reading, knowledge. And once you have knowledge, you have confidence. And once you have confidence, you tend to be creative and put your ideas out there. When I saw this all happening to me, I said, gosh, if I could only give this experience to another child. And I started a program called Comic Book Fairs. And I have a site, I'll give a plug, www.comicbookfairs.com. And I package up comic books. I send them to schools that sign up for this for free. And they put them on a table and they host an event. It's a comic book, it's a comic book affair, and they keep 30%. And what they're doing is giving the introduction to graphic literacy to children who may have not found comics, or to children who are aware of comics but, you know, want to read. I feel as though maybe even for you, the reason that comic books are sought after and enjoyed is because today's society has the need to be involved. They want to always have something to say. You know, when I grew up, it's, you know, parents would say, we're having an adult conversation, go in the other room, or you can't, you know, give us your input because you're little. But today we do listen to our children, and we are always encouraging them to speak to us, to give us ideas, that they are teachers, even, you know, a five-year-old. We learn from them. You see on the internet all the time highlighting something that a young person did. So I say comic books has that rich graphics and limited text. And what you find in between there is what I refer to as the gray area. And that's where it allows you to expand on a story and internalize the information that you're reading and give it, you know, more value that makes sense to you. So information that you are gaining from a comic book, I feel, allows you to put in your own input. And that fits very well with today's society.
You know, it reminds me, I think I've read somewhere that you actually said, because I know you do speaking engagements, but the reader is, in comic books, the reader is allowed, even encouraged by the graphics, to contribute to the story. And I think that's what you were just talking about, that their imagination makes the story their own.
Absolutely. It makes it relevant. And when I was at Archie Comics, you know, on this path to, you know, engage children in the love of reading, and I love that I am the co-CEO of Archie Comics, because Archie Comics is always the comic book of choice among educators and teachers and parents. But I wanted to do a little bit more on giving information, and I started seeing that I needed to address issues that are very relevant today: obesity, healthy eating, and bullying. So I partnered with Boston's Children's Hospital, and we were able to raise funds to come out with a comic book on obesity. It's called JD Shapes Up.
Wow.
And as I was doing this, I started to realize the power of this type of literacy would be effective in communicating information. So I wanted to do another one on what one can do when bullied. So that's my second comic book. It's called Rise Above, and it's become very successful because today it's a very hot topic, bullying.
Yes.
But I find we really do not understand exactly what bullying is. And when the character in Rise Above, Erica, is shown in the panels, you see emptiness in her eyes. You see loneliness. You see her when she's sitting at a computer and seeing horrific stuff on that computer, how loss of dignity has happened. And this is what I try to highlight when I go around the world and I speak on various topics, and when I can speak on what we call bullying, I try to use that word less and talk about isolation, loneliness, emptiness, loss of one's dignity.
Yes.
And you can see it in the graphics. You really need very little words to understand when you're faced with a computer that has horrific things on you, that has no thread to, you know, who you are, and how the meanness and cruelness was put out, not just for your little village or community, but it was put out there for the world. So the graphics are very powerful in conveying a lot of information that can be helpful or to point out how hurtful things can be.
You know, I think also, Nancy, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's so wonderful to hear you say this, and it makes me think that, you know, bullying is something that starts early. I mean, and it isn't just a childhood thing on the schoolyard or classroom anymore. But as you say, it's in cyberspace. It's in your bedroom on your laptop. It's you know, it's everywhere, and obviously in the NFL. But if one, with your philosophy, if we hear what you are doing and saying, you get the attention of children at a very young age who are learning about isolation and being imposed upon or hurt or not treated nicely or kindly. It also, it doesn't just help the person who gets bullied, but I think it helps to re-educate the one who wants or or might eventually turn into a bully, you stop it in the bud, so to speak. You give them a visually appealing graphic that doesn't need a lot of words, as you say, that shows them the ramifications on both sides of the equation. And I imagine that's very preventive for some people who I know people who deal with bullying in school and often say that they hear even from the bully that, gee, when I listen to you and see what you're doing, I realize I was a bully and I didn't even know it. Where your comic books may very well cut off that tendency even before it begins. I think that's an amazing contribution, if that.
Thank you.
Well,
I look at the comic book Rise Above as a tool to open up conversation, and it is a conversation today that is being propelled because when we grew up, it was looked at as a rite of passage.
Uh-huh.
It was just something that happened, and your teacher, had cotton in their ears.
Yes.
And, stayed out of it and hope that you would figure it out. But it left, deep scars when someone attacks your integrity.
Yes.
And what's happening today, as wonderful as the internet is, there is a dark side.
Mm.
And I think what has propelled the conversation is that it is open, the conversation of one's character being attacked is open to global conversation. And people now feel, and we always welcome, the voice.
Yes.
And the voice is becoming louder that this is not a rite of passage. It's very unacceptable. And it's movements that are becoming louder to say this will not happen any longer. So if you go back into society, where society was wrong with behavior, if you go back and look at these times, it was only movements that were able to voice how this has to stop.
Yes.
And I believe the technology has brought us to this point to let people know it will no longer happen. When you enter a school, it is a venue for you to learn and flourish.
Mm-hmm.
It is not to have little pieces of your heart ripped away from you.
Yes.
And I feel as though the movement is becoming so loud that what you said, that one malevolent person may say, oh gosh, I didn't realize this was so hurtful.
Yes.
Or that one malevolent person may just be called out finally by the bystanders and say, we're not joining your army. We're not going to allow this on our watch. We are here in a learning environment because, as we know, this unacceptable behavior does take place a lot on the playground, at
yes.
the bus, at the lunchroom.
Yes.
But again, it does take place also in the workplace.
Yes.
So
oh, yes.
It has become a very hot topic, and I'm proud that I have a tool. I look at this comic book, Rise Above, as a tool to utilize to open up the conversation, and you can get deep conversation going because you're providing graphics. And when people look at pictures, they look at them differently. They internalize
yes.
the information differently. So you'll have a more powerful, invigorating conversation on the topic.
I'm going to have to take a break right here, Nancy. We'll be right back, but this has been fascinating. When we return to co-CEO of Archie Comics, we are also, and we've been talking a lot about the Rise Above social issues, and that is her foundation, her comics, and what it does for education is what it is. Education, but it's fun education. It's pictorial, graphic education. In any case, when we return, we're going to talk about Archie therapy, and we're going to talk about how comic books reflect the times. We're going to talk about all of it. We're not done. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you.
now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Tim is Tim Jennison, a well-to-do Texas inventor with no background in art. Yet he became obsessed with finding out how the Dutch painter Johannes Vermeer managed to convey a sense of light so authentically. And who better to direct and host this fascinating documentary about Tim's search for the magic of Vermeer's painting than Mr. Magic himself, Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller fame? In Tim's Vermeer, the cameras follow the increasingly fixated Jennison as he embarks on 10 years of research, gradually unlocking the apparent secret of Vermeer's success. The film plays like a really good suspense-ridden detective story. We follow his journey one step at a time through false leads and setbacks, refusing to accept easy answers until the inventor has satisfied his theory. He even goes so far as to construct an exact duplicate to the last detail of Vermeer's studio in Delft. We end up with a whale of a mystery story about two geniuses forging through the worlds of art, technology, math, obsession, and beauty. And what we really want to know is, did Vermeer cheat when he painted the music lesson? And even if he did, is it any the less art, or were the artist's vision and technological skills perhaps all the more remarkable? Tim's Vermeer, not in theaters, discovery through rental.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with my guest, Nancy Silverkleit, who is the co-CEO of Archie Comics, overseeing education, and who has founded her own comics, books, I guess would be, say, Rise Above Social Issues. Is that the correct, am I giving the correct name
yes,
of it?
It's Rise Above Social Issues Foundation, Inc., and the first comic book was Rise Above.
Well,
but I'd like to get back to the Archie brand.
Yes.
I say the Archie brand is powerful, it's known globally, it's timeless, it's ageless, and it appeals to both genders. I always say, I wonder how much money it would take today to recreate such a model. I don't think it can be done.
Yes.
And I say our talented writers and artists created a formula, a community centered around a school with an interesting boy that you know with two very different girls on each side, you know, surrounded by friends who always found themselves in conflict.
Mm.
But at the end, their story, their conflict seemed to place a smile on my face and many other, you know, faces.
Sure.
So Archie and its friends, they knew how to show us how situations get worked out. And the storylines brought its humor, and it allowed one to get lost in fantasy.
Uh-huh.
And I have another quote. I say, reading Archie comics for 20 minutes is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
And I call it Archie therapy. It's always the right time for Archie. Archie has found its way around the globe. And wait till you hear this. Archie even ventured into outer space on the spaceship Endeavor's last journey. So Archie Comics has been able to plant itself in so many hearts and so many different types of people. You know, I'm just so proud to represent a brand like that.
Fantastic. And so Archie Therapy, what did you say, 20, 30 minutes? What is it?
Reading Archie for 20 minutes is a good thing. Yeah. I call it Archie Therapy.
Well, it certainly, you know, as you say, it takes you, it frees the mind. My wife is an artist, and she has said a similar thing about when people try to question her what is her art about, because it is a unique style. And she says it's about whatever the person looking at it decides. And
absolutely.
I love that, because it's just so much. And you go back, you know, and I'm sure we can do the same with Archie Comics and Rise Above. You go back to it at a different time in your life, and you are different, and therefore you find a whole level, a different level of perspective, because you have changed as a person, you've grown as a person. Tell me, you say that comic books reflect the times. That seems an obvious statement, but tell us about that. Comic books reflect the times.
First, you know, comic books, it captures one's imagination and it sparks creative energy.
Uh-huh.
And the act of reading, you know, graphics is quite complex. And it's, you have to give your audience graphics that are relevant, that are appealing. So Archie Comics has been around for 7 decades.
Yes.
So it started out with graphics that show poodle skirts and hula hoops, but today, you know, you see smart devices and you're looking to see, oh
yes,
my goodness, what's in Betty's hand, what's in Archie's hand, and what is Veronica wearing? Our artists and creative writers reference the books and magazines that are out today, and they study what our young people are all about.
Ah.
So when you put those graphics, present those graphics, you know, you are capturing their imagination and sparking an interest for them to dive into this type of genre of literacy.
So how do comic books deal with the ever-increasing technology?
Well, Archie Comics is available digital on all types of smart devices, the book note and everything else. Comic books imprint will always be around because
yes,
there is the collector and people who like to have that format in their hand. And then children. Today, children are born with a chip in them.
Yes.
And they are always looking down. I say, when people, you know, hundreds of years look at photographs of us, they're going to say, boy, they were very religious people,
yeah,
you know, like monks, bending down and walking and always looking down at something.
Yes.
So, you know, we offer Archie Comics in digital and in print. And how do we deal with technology? Archie Comics, I say, was relevant every decade. Archie Comics and the comic book industry, or anyone today, has to be relevant every week because technology changes that quickly.
Yes.
So once, you know, you are coming with an announcement from Apple that something else is coming out, you have to be prepared to invest in the coding that will match that apparatus so we can get our stories out.
Absolutely.
So we have to be very prepared and realize that technology is changing every day.
Every day. And as you say, the comic books reflect the times. And also, I think, I mean, I know we've touched on this, but this entire educational aspect of comic books educating the world, I mean, you've sold 5.1 billion comics in 12 different countries, and how does it impact, say, on the environment, on educating the next generation, or even this generation, on environmental needs and importance?
Well, as I said, I am utilizing this format to get out more serious information. And I'm so fortunate because when Archie speaks, people listen.
Yes.
And I have been able, outside of Rise Above Social Issues, to put in relevant issues that do impact our world globally. I have two stories that were beautifully written by two different Archie writers that addressed how we use plastic.
Oh,
and the
yes,
stories give us the message to reduce, rethink, and reuse plastic. The last story highlighted the country of Rwanda.
Yes.
I do not know if you know this or if your listeners know, but Rwanda was able to ban plastic bags as a country.
Yes.
Many of our communities around the United States, our towns, are banning plastic bags and encouraging shopkeepers to, you know, offer an alternative that is more, you know, friendly to the environment.
Yes.
But Rwanda did that as a country.
As a nation, yes.
So when people get to read this story, it's an environmental story, but it's also about history. It's about map skills. It's about other cultures because it's bringing in a country, Rwanda. So I was very excited about that. And then there was another story, Bottle Battle. That
yes,
is another visual that will get you to stop using water in plastic bottles.
Yes.
I have changed my ways. I always say I was never a tree hugger, but now I do not buy bottled water. I have a water bottle that I fill up, and I have a filter on my water. And I tend not to buy plastic bags. Whatever bag comes my way, I'm able to use that. So the graphics of Archie sitting on a pile of plastic really impacted me personally, mm-hmm. and that's how I'm dealing with it.
Wonderful. So
I would like to mention, if I can,
yes.
Going back to bullying and the comic book Rise Above, what one can do with being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to be approached by a young girl who was doing an interview on me and wanted to see if I happened to have things that she could share in her report, not comic books, but other types of licensing memorabilia. And I said, wow, I had such a collection, but I've never organized it. So they offered to organize it. And then in honor of her taking on that initiative, I said, I'm going to put it in our local library for everybody to see.
Oh.
It received such a great, appreciation of what Archie had put out during the decades. I wanted to share it with other libraries. Right now mm-hmm. it's in Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. and it's going to be going to Florida, then it's going back out west. It's booked way into 2015, and if any of your listeners would like to have the exhibit in their library, they can get in touch with me at accidentalboss@AOL. And then as this idea of lending the exhibit out, I started thinking how important it is for our young people today to get involved in something. And I encourage parents, teachers, caregivers to help young people find a hobby, a sport, something, even the art of collecting.
Yes.
Because it will help you get lost in something you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you happen to be, unfortunately, in a bullying situation, we all know how that pain lasts with you for
yes.
a lifetime.
Yes.
It's not going to solve it. But as you're working on something you're interested in, something you are good at, you get lost in that moment, and it does ease the pain, and slowly it gives you confidence because you're becoming an expert on what you're interested in.
Yes.
Even the art of collecting.
Yeah.
So that exhibit is going around. It's called It's Always the Right Time for Archie.
Uh-huh.
And because it was so popular, I created a satellite exhibit, a smaller exhibit,
uh-huh.
and that is being shown in the Portchester Library in New York.
Oh.
I'm proud of that.
That's, yes. So it's always the right time for Archie. Is there a website we can visit for more information about?
The best place to get in touch with me is accidentalboss@AOL.
Okay. accidentalboss@AOL. All right, then. And let's talk, we don't have a lot more time, but I do want to touch on going back to your founding the Rise Above Social Issues. One of the issues you educate us on is healthy eating, healthy foods, eating habits. I know that obesity, we all know that that's a problem, especially as it affects our children. How are your comic books dealing with healthy eating habits? And changing our
eating. Proud that we were able to publish another comic book out of JD. I had mentioned Boston's Children's Hospital.
Yes.
Published a comic book on obesity. And then we were fortunate to do another one called Discovery Kids Learn About Wellness. And in both of these comic books, there are pages that do educate one on healthy eating choices.
Uh-huh.
And, how much calcium. To take a look at a panel and see a bunch of children with a TV screen on them and lettuce in front of them because they are going to have a bake-off.
Yes.
It encourages our children to eat, to make wise choices in what they're going to put in their body, and also encourages our children to become more active. So we are not giving them a brochure We're giving them graphics to look at these pictures. I'm looking at a picture now of celery, and it looks like they're putting maybe peanut butter into the celery. And the way the artist drew that picture, it's all laid out, and it looks wonderful. I see dabbing raisins on the top. So I think I will try that for maybe an appetizer before I serve dinner tonight.
Absolutely. So what prompted you to even start Rise Above Social Issues comic books? How did you, was there something, was it you as because you were an art teacher? What was it that started that for you?
Well, I think it was the initial introduction for my reading comic books. How I fell in love with the stories, how they made me laugh. And I was analyzing, you know, what is it? And it was really the pictures were allowing me to think beyond the story that was being given to me.
Yes.
And then I started creating quotes. I started comic book fairs. I was creating things I never thought that would be in my bailiwick doing.
Yes.
So I wanted to go further and provide people with more opportunity to engage information in a fun way.
Yes.
And as I traveled, I saw many children that were dealing with weight problems, and especially in impoverished areas and down south, I saw a need for children to be educated on healthy eating.
Yes. Yes.
So how am I going to do this? I felt that graphics was a powerful aid, a powerful tool to communicate information in a welcoming format.
Yeah, absolutely right. You certainly have proven that, too.
The comic book on bullying came about because there was so much news coming across on children taking their lives due to being bullied. And I myself have been bullied. And I know what gets me through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Never let anyone define who they want you to be.
Yes.
You know who you are.
Yes.
So can you imagine someone telling you what you can do, what you can't do? That's ridiculous. And I thought as I was reading these horrific, horrible stories of children taking their lives, if I could only pass on what gets me through the day.
Yes.
And that's how Rise Above came about.
Wow.
I wanted to get that message out. Never let anyone define who they want you to be. And I created a team. I said, gosh, you're a publisher. You can do this.
Sure.
So I created a team, and I told them I wanted that message. I also wanted a stuffed animal in the frames.
Uh-huh.
It was important to me. I also wanted to see that that one malevolent person did not show up in the end of the frames.
Yes.
And also that the person who was subjected to this unacceptable behavior did speak up.
Yes.
And went to someone to get help, and they did. They went to their teacher. So I was very proud of my writer, John Wilcox, who crafted this story, and the person, Stan Goldberg, who put graphics, art, to make those words even more, he made those words come alive.
Yes.
He gave not only a definition, he gave feeling to what wrong meant or sad meant.
Yes.
It was impactful. And sadly, Stan Goldberg just passed away just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
So I am honored. I did get to work with him on two projects. We were just getting ready to work on another project. And to your listeners, if they have any interest in getting a message out, again, they can contact me at accidentalboss@AOL.com. I am interested in doing a comic book on what one can do when having a play date with an autistic child, how to make that play date successful. And I have an interest in doing one on type 2 diabetes.
Oh.
So I haven't gotten funding for that yet. So maybe someone in your audience
will
be interested.
All right. Nancy, just one quick thing, because we do have to go, but I'm just wondering, you have any upcoming speaking engagements you can give us a heads up on?
Yes, I will be at Barnes and Noble in White Plains, New York.
Uh-huh, know it well.
October 18th. And I will be October 6th at the Portchester Library at 6 o'clock, speaking on my collection there.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Nancy Silver-Kleicht, who is the co-CEO of Archie Comics and has launched an amazingly helpful, positive, reinforcing, educational, edutainment series of her own called Rise Above Social Issues. And it's been an absolute pleasure, Nancy, talking with you, and fascinating to really look into. As I said, I discovered animation and comic books when I was much older than a child, that's for sure. And you have pointed out to me that it's never too late. So thank you so much for being on the show, Nancy. And we look forward to all that you're doing and wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much. And I ask you and your audience to embrace and harness the visual image in comic books as an academic tool for communicating in today's world.
And there you have it. Thank you. Bye now.
Goodbye.
Stay with us as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery. Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. In the world most of us live in, we face plenty of challenges. Broken families, financial hardship, unexpected pregnancies, and all manner of complex events. Imagine experiencing these difficulties in a foreign country without money, barely able to speak the language, and with no safety net. Entre Nos is a bare bones picture. There is little backstory. Soon after immigrating to New York from Colombia, Mariana is deserted by her no good husband, left behind to fend for herself and her two young children. This is the story of her desperate struggle to survive in a strange land. Thankfully, there is triumph in the end. The film was written and directed by Mariana's real-life daughter as a tribute to the mom who had the strength and the will to make her family survive. An especially poignant scene will sear the soul and not soon be forgotten. Imagine watching your starving children tear apart an empty bag of Cheetos to lick the dust from the crevices. Then imagine having to apologize to them for conditions not in your control, for a life you cannot change, for the poverty into which they were born. Entre Nos is far better experienced on film than in life. Independent film, where the real stories are told. You can find us on the web at www.indiefilmminute.com.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us in becoming one of the reasonable voices heard around the world. 52,000 children. Calling a time out from media massage, government spies, and corporatism's marketing secrets and lies, let's free ourselves from daily recalibration by Fox, CNN, and yes, even MSNBC, and think of the children. Take a break from being framed by those for whom we are merely dollar signs. Hit our pause and we stop their clock. Breathe, listen to the children, and rediscover our common decency and sense. Since 2000, we've been pushed off balance, but it's not so much the 60% of us caught in the middle between 20% empty barrels to our left and right extremes. For a time out from screaming, turn off the screamers, and you'll recapture why children run to and not from America. It's not we, the people, trying to live while making a living on the outside of state houses and beltways that are fueling domestic disruption and international terrorism. It's we, the elected people, fueled by the desperate for status quo fossil fuels people, pumping us into divide and conquer states of oil spills. Why should we follow people who live in terror of a gentle breeze empowering American energy while failing and a little child shall lead them? It's not that the 19th century focused, intelligently ill-equipped members of Congress are stupid, or even that all Supremes have dinosaur brains. It's just that they are paid to talk that way. Altering our balance and balance sheets makes us vulnerable to bankers investing in private prisons for minorities, believing that separatism can be institutionalized. And then, education. So debt-ridden that ignorance will allow Wall Street the power to turn on and off our children's energy resources to infinity and beyond. We need a timeout from supporting our local political criminals, answering opinion polls without an informed opinion, VA management bonuses, and ISA IRS losers. Let health insurance companies fight with pharmaceuticals over their exorbitant prices. The drone master respond to ISIS militia, and Janie regurgitate mushroom cloud foot and mouth disease. Isn't mishandling of CDC, anthrax, and Justice Department giving a pass to 22,000 tax-dodging one-percenters enabled by Credit Suisse enough to swallow with our pizza? Remember, economic terrorism is an equal opportunity corporately offered to every man, woman, and child who, wittingly or not, has become a partner in the most tremendous Wall Street undertaking to undo our American dream. Back before preferring empire, when republics like Rome at its most feared and America at its most admired, there were joint ventures between adversaries, applying their combined genius of foresight, integrity, and creative imagination to build an American arsenal of democracy, like Olmsted's Central Park, that no cokehead corporatism could master. We owe ourselves some time to remember the difference between right and wrong, instead of right and left, and that love thy neighbor as thyself includes immigrant children as well. Let's make time to think while our votes still outnumber the galactically stupid and the dollars of the insatiably greedy, whose primary path to victory over us is redirection to distraction, or worse, apathy for the children. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of thereasonablevoice.com website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.